welcome to the Diet Breaker Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Ernest. Do you ever ask yourself, will I always feel stressed about my body or food, or is there a way out? This podcast is to help you align your relationship with food with a faith-centered approach. From debunking nutrition claims, exploring your unique nutrition blueprint, and learning how to detangle the complex relationship with food you grew up with, and learn how God actually wants you to show up. Let's dig in. Hi, and welcome to today's podcast. Today we're doing a recap of the Bible study and where it's at right now. And in case you didn't know, I'm writing a Bible study. If you go in the show notes, you can sign up to be on the launch list for this Bible study. This Bible study has been a labor of love, and the Bible study that I am writing is answering the question, does God want me to lose weight? And you won't find this answer in the Bible. And I didn't intend to find this answer in the Bible. But I sent out to answer this question because it's a question that often women never ask themselves when it comes to their wellness journey or their health journey. And a lot of women that come to me have struggled with weight loss for years. They feel like they're struggling to know what to do, how to do it, what's the best way to do it. They're tired of idolizing their body. They just want to be happy. At the same time, they have a certain weight that they might think they need to lose, or a pant size they want to fit into, or a health something they want to achieve. And I have coached women for years around the relationship with food and body. And I felt like I really wanted to go deeper into our hearts and our souls when it comes to answering the question and really repairing our relationship with food and relationship with our body. And for me, when I was struggling 10, 15 years ago, was I didn't ask this question. I wasn't asking this question. Sometimes it was because I didn't want to. Other times was because I didn't really think that God cared. I felt like maybe this is just how you struggle on this side of heaven, is you just struggle with always feeling insecure about your body. Certainly the way that I grew up was a lot of women around me complained about their body, complained about needing to lose the last 5, 10, 15 pounds or whatnot. Told me to enjoy it while it lasted. And so when I grew up, I just thought that maybe that's what you should be like, is you just don't like your body or you're never content with it. So I wrote this question, I'm writing this Bible study as a reason to answer this question from a faith-based perspective. Really a reflective question. Does God want me to lose weight? And I think that further prompts us to dig into our hearts of what's really motivating the desire for weight loss. And I'm not answering this as a yes or no question. Along the journey, what I really hope that you find is that you find a deeper faith and appreciation for the body that God gave you, but also a firm path forward. So if you do want to lose weight, or you decide you need a table weight loss, maybe weight loss has become an idol in your life, and it's been an idol in your life since as long as you can remember, and you need to break some chains around that. Okay, so I'm going to just kind of share with you what I've written so far and kind of give you some main takeaways that I've learned along the way. Okay. So chapter one is dealing with the question, like, how did we get here? And for me, the root issue of desiring weight loss is not actually weight loss. Okay. The reason why we want to lose weight is not actually to lose weight. The reason why we want to weigh a certain amount or be a certain pant size isn't because we actually truly desire that weight or that pant size. The reason why we desire weight loss is because we feel shame and we feel self-conscious and we want to feel confident and we want to feel content and we want to like who we are. And our self-worth got wrapped up in this idea that it's supposed to look or be a certain way. And the world tells us that it's more accepted to look and be a certain way. And certain body sizes are praised more than others. But the difficulty is that spectrum continuously changes and continuously moves the benchmark to be further and further away from where we're at. And it's always farther than where we're at. And it's always something we need to achieve. So the chapter one is titled, The Devil's Oldest Trick in the Book. Okay? Really, the oldest trick in the book is talking about Eve in the garden. And I just find this so fascinating that the first experience that Eve has with sin is shame about her body, covering herself up because she feels shame about her body. And that is insane to me. Like, not insane. I don't know. It feels wild that even to this very day, when we are so far removed from the garden, we are still so connected to it. We are so, so connected to the fall. And I go over in this entire chapter talking about how the devil plays on our doubt. And he lets that doubt fester. And that doubt is the belief that if we just achieved X amount of weight loss, if we just kept our food under control, if we just did this to look better, then we would actually be happier and more content. It's the lie that we don't need God to fill that gap. It's the lie that we don't need to rely on Him to fill a very deep wound or need. And so that's all of chapter one. And we go into talking about some of my insecurities, where those started. Stories about women that I've talked with, about where they went through when they were struggling. And the great thing about this chapter is we get to dive into the Bible and the very beginning of where our struggles are at, and give us a tangible way forward. Many of us feel like in order to be confident, it requires changing something physically about ourselves to look better. And what I like about the Bible is it really redirects us in exactly how to do that. And so that's all of chapter one. It's starting at the very beginning and at the root cause of why we're here today. And it's a good one. It was the fire of this book, and I enjoyed reading it and I loved it. And it was extremely difficult to go through that. And it's awesome. Chapter two, it's answering the question, does God want us to lose weight? And what I like about chapter two, answering this question on the heels of chapter one, is that we can't go into directly, and even this question I feel like is pretty early on in the book, but I like that it's early enough to where we can start answering it, but it's not the first thing. I think diving into chapter one and understanding why we are actually here struggling with the image we do today, with the control we have today, with the idols we have today, is so important. So then when we go into chapter two, which is answering the question, does God want me to lose weight? It gives us more of a humble approach to this question. It's saying, okay, God, I understand why I'm here. And you've laid out that this is part of being human in a broken world. And it's trying to call out this idol of weight loss that we may struggle with and have struggled with, whether it be influenced on us from a childhood or we developed it on our own accord. And it puts into perspective where the idol of weight should be in our lives. And really, it's lowering it beneath God and putting it at God's feet and saying, I have idolized weight loss in order to maintain my idea of worth over and over again. I've desired to lose weight more than I've desired you, Jesus. And if we're real honest, that's not really how we think we should or what we think we're doing. But when we're more nervous about skipping a workout than a Bible study, I think that's pretty humbling, saying, maybe weight loss is an idol. And I give this perspective in chapter two, talking about how we should maybe approach weight loss and health. Okay. And the example I give is that weight loss really has become this token of like value. It is similar to financial gain. Okay. It's a similar idol to money. Okay. And we might be able to look at people today and be like, money can't buy happiness. Or if you're just super greedy and obsessed about money, it says a lot about your character and who you are, and that you value money maybe over relationships, or you value money over God, or money's their idol. It's very easy to spot this, and we're very aware of it in today's culture because it's been talked about. And we can answer and we can also see that in the financial world, when money turns from being good and edifying and prosperous in God's eyes to being bad, to becoming an idol, to be chains more than freedom. Okay, and so it's answering this question, okay? Is the amount of money we do or do not have, does that determine our worth? Do we become greedy after we made a certain amount of money? Or is it that we become greedy after we purchased our 10th car or 10th luxury vehicle? But the answer is really specific to the person that it is, right? Like if someone owns 10 luxury vehicles, but they gave away 100, we could probably easily say, okay, that person has a ton of money, but they are generous. They are serving Jesus. They are putting God above everything that they do by giving money back to their church, to doing something that's prosperous within their community, putting back into where they feel they need to give, okay? In the same sense, we could see people that are in the opposite spectrum, that for one reason or another, their life has been revolved around money because they haven't had it, and they grip onto it, and it determines their worth and their value. And so all they do is they stress about money and worry, and they end up spending money on things they shouldn't because they just want to attain value. Like I bought, and I'm not saying that I know everything about this, but let's say someone who is struggling financially goes out and makes purchases they shouldn't make purchases on. I don't even need to label exactly what they do. But we can see how money can drive the idol of money, the idol of having things, can really drive sinful behavior, whether we have a lot or little, right? So it's not necessarily about the money. It's about the heart and where the heart is desiring to find satisfaction and worth. Okay, so weight loss, honestly, is no different. We can idolize weight loss as being the number one thing, our health as being the number one thing. Like our worth is determined by how we look in a swimsuit. Or the opposite spectrum, we don't care about our health at all. We think it's bogus and we don't take care of the temple that God gave us or this vessel that God gave us. And we trash it. We don't take care of it. We don't express worship in the form of taking care of our body because we just don't care. So you can see how the opposite spectrums can be true. But answering this question, does God want me to lose weight, is saying, where's that middle ground where we try, we have bumpers on that protects us from being overly obsessive and under appreciative, or, you know, you not valuing it for what it is. Okay. So that's chapter 2. And that was a difficult one to write. To be honest, that was extremely difficult to understand where in the Bible we're going to be drawing from in these biblical principles and learning about biblical principles and understanding what that could look for us in our life today. Chapter 3, I can tell you, has been rewritten about 5 bajillion times. And this is the science behind how God made us. And what I like about this is just as we kind of dismantle, the first 2 chapters are really digging in deep. They're making us ask the tough questions so we can move forward in a more positive way. And it kind of lays us the foundation of, like, we need to prioritize God first in every single thing we do, including answering the question, does God want me to lose weight? So when we get to chapter 3, chapter 3 is about understanding exactly how God made your body. And I have loved and hated this chapter at the same time. Loved it because, man, even just sitting and reflecting on the way that God made our body, from the very moment he made us to now, he was so loving and kind. From the second he was breathing life into our lungs, God knew that we would need to eat food. And he gave us millions of processes and organs to be able to do that. And he didn't just anticipate, he didn't just like suddenly, you know, 1,000 years later, be like, oh, shoot, you actually need these enzymes or this gut microbiome or this organ or this is how your muscles need to operate now. No, from the second that Adam was born, he opened up the garden to him and said, anything you see, you can eat. And then we see later in Genesis later, he allows them to him, man, to eat meat. In order for him to do that, Adam would have had to been born with all of those enzymes to make it actually functional and pleasurable and not make him horribly sick in order to do so. So what I love is that even though it doesn't say exactly this is how God made us cell, what we can pull from that, from understanding what we know now about science, taking a peek into God's creation, which even the minimal we know about our body now is a ton, but it's still not everything. We don't know everything about the human body. We don't know everything about nutrition or what it does. But what we do know is that God made our body to run a specific way, to thrive off specific foods. And I'm going to talk about all that. And I'm talking about how we like to really confuse things and make things more complicated, because that's what we do when we're a progressive, we're a progressive country that, like, we're not living in third world and having third world issues where food is scarce and we eat what we've overcomplicated things, right? So I'm going to bring it back to the basics, okay, of how God made our body. What does it thrive off of? Okay, what does that say about taking care of it? What fears can you lay down and be like, I was really worried I needed to eat keto, really worried I need to eat carnivore, or really worried that I need to eat vegan? Whatever it might be, we get to unpack exactly how God made us, and man, it's beautiful. And then in chapter 4, we're talking about, okay, so now we know how our body operates. What does that practically look like? So how do I go about eating? Like, what is good? How do I have a critical thinking mind when it comes to nourishing my body, but also honoring God and setting a good example? So that's where we're at right now. And when I tell you, this Bible study has been a labor of love. It has been mostly just labor and painful without an epidural and a long month-long labor. It's been a lot. And I've thought about giving up multiple times because of that doubt that sneaks in that says, you're not good enough. You're not a pastor. You're not this. You're not that. And I'm constantly reminded whenever I talk about it with other people that they're just like, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. And I then follow that with like, how do you know? And can you tell me? Because I don't always believe that. But what I have enjoyed about writing this Bible study is that, if I'm being vulnerable in here, is that I've made nutrition programs before, and there being someone that's in this profession, making nutrition courses is a ton of fun. I've enjoyed it. I've loved creating new things, and it's rather fun because I know what needs to be said and educated on. But when it comes to writing a Bible study, I am not skilled or enough. And I think God has really used that feeling of not being enough to make me dependent on Him. And a lot of people have said, you know, that's just the devil sneaking doubt into your mind. And that's very true. And I think that's a fine observation. But I also think that Jesus has allowed that doubt to be overwhelming to me so that I become extremely dependent on Him and His word, and that I don't allow myself to just brush past things or push past things because I want them done. But it's made me more dependent on Him during this time. My biggest fear with all writing this is that I would write something that wasn't theologically sound. And that is still a huge fear of mine. I have a lot of processes in order to ensure that I'm representing the word and I'm not putting things into the Bible and intrinsically speaking, but I'm pulling things out of the Bible for their biblical stories of what they're trying to teach, and then understanding how we could maybe apply that to our current day situation, but not putting in my thoughts or ideas into the Bible or what the word says. And because I'm not a pastor and I don't pastor for a living, I find myself doubting and questioning. But again, it's an opportunity for me to be very dependent on God and the Lord for every single page that is put into, and I mean that by every single page. It has been a struggle of words and wanting to make sure that it's right And because of that, I am very grateful for God's faithfulness and his diligence. And it's easy to sit back and be really down about where I'm at and that I haven't gotten it done as fast as I wanted to. But in the end, I feel like God has been so faithful at making me slow down to what feels like a snail's pace, but like slower, like a dying snail's pace, like barely moving. Like we've got only a centimeter left. That's how fast I feel like I'm moving. And I don't do well in that. I like to go, 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 boom, boom, boom. Let's get this out. And I've been fast and efficient at other things in doing that. And so slowing down, taking over a year and a half to write this, and hopefully I will be done here soon. But if not, I know that I'm trusting God in this process. And the first four chapters are wonderful, which means we only have two more chapters to soft edit. And then we'll move on to hard editing, which, yes, I'm pretty sure I made up all those terms, but it's what helped me. I soft edit all the chapters, write them, have my team look over them, have my husband edit them, check them for theological mistakes. And then it hits the hard editing where we're just grammar editing, commas, spelling, flow, all of that stuff. And I'm not a writer, but man, I've poured a lot into this. And I am trusting that God's faithfulness will provide for this. So that's my recap for the Bible study. This Bible study is for you if you feel like you've struggled with answering this question. Maybe you're like, I've never asked God that question before, and I'm kind of afraid of the answer. Maybe you've struggled with disordered eating your whole life, where you feel like you've never loved your body. You feel like you've always struggled with dieting because you want to love it, and you think it's on the other side of feeling skinny. Maybe you have struggled with disordered eating in the past, and you feel like you've moved past it, but you want to set a biblical example for your kids or those around you, and you want to do that in a faith-based way. Maybe you do desire to lose weight and you really want to put up some guardrails in your life of like, I want to lose weight, but man, I don't want it to compromise my faith. And if that's you, then this is for you. And you can sign up by going to the link in the description box. There you can actually get access to the first chapter. And I'm releasing it a little bit early just to give you kind of a teaser of what it's like. And so you can start answering some questions and kind of getting ready for the full Bible study launch. When it launches, if you sign up on that list, what you get out of that is you get a discounted price on the Bible study. It's only going out to launch listers. You get a discounted price and a guaranteed hard copy. So when it launches, you can get it. And then the super exciting part is that we're going to launch this Bible study for 2 weeks. You can order at the end of those 2 weeks. We're closing and you get to join the 6-week Bible study where once a week we will meet together live and have a private Facebook group all set up just for us to go through this Bible study together. And I am so excited for that. It's going to be incredible. I'm super excited to walk through it and learn from you as well as you go through this. Go ahead, grab the first chapter and sign up for the launch list so that you can have first access to the Bible study and the Bible study week study that goes with it. All right, take care. See you next week.